Welcome back to 32 Fans in 32 Days. I'm Alex Chester. With me, as always, is Wheels Wienerker. Akiva, I gave you a gift last night. It's your favorite gift of all. I gave you the opportunity to dunk on me on Twitter. You were very happy to do so.
Well, this could be the last chance I ever have to dunk on you.
Yeah.
Because tomorrow morning you have a some sort of appointment at the courthouse.
Oh,
they could take you away for life.
Yeah, this podcast is coming out on Friday, but we are recording it Tuesday night. So it's possible that on Wednesday morning I was arrested.
It's possible. I mean, that would be wild. Do you know any good lawyers? I don't.
Unfortunately, no. Listen, I did an incredibly, one of the most mature things I've ever done in my life last night, and that was that I decided to hang out with a bunch of teenagers.
You tweeted, do you think anybody else has ever done a fantasy football draft during a Taylor Swift concert?
Yeah.
So I, being a search guy, put a bunch of terms like that into Twitter, and I could not find one person who said that they did the draft while at a Taylor Swift concert, although I did see 5 to 10 people who had conflicts, but they all chose the concert over fantasy football.
Okay. Well, that's basically what my wife... So my wife calls me at like 5:30 yesterday and says... and yesterday meaning Monday, because again, now it's Friday when you're listening to this, but now it's Tuesday when we're recording this. So she calls me at like 5:30 and she says, quickly, I need to know right now, would you want to go to the VMAs? And so I start Googling it to see what day it is, because I remember, like, for some reason in high school, I vividly remember 1999 that it was on September 9th, because it was like 9999.
Yes. Like, yeah, I remember that.
And I had a friend, Frager, who in high school would, like, get into, like, all these crazy events. And he, there's a few events that he offered to take me to that I... making bad decisions, as I did in high school, but a bad decision the other direction, chose not to go, and one of them was the VMAs. So I have never gone to it, and that's actually 1999 when it would have been relevant for me to go, when I would have heard of most of the artists performing. So anyways, I start Googling it, and I'm trying to figure out the day, and my wife's like, I need to know right now. I'm like, why didn't you know right now? She's like, because we got to leave right now. I didn't realize it was like literally that day.
Yeah. So, and I How'd you get tickets?
A friend who works for the Devils. It was at the Prudential Center. It was
okay.
I don't know. Did you watch it, Akiva?
No, I didn't watch it.
No, because you're 35 years old. Yeah.
I mean, if there's like a really buzzworthy performance, I'll check it out. I did look at the list of names performing just to see, once you told me you were going, just to see how few people you would know performing.
Yeah.
And I the whole list of performers that you probably knew going in, I'm assuming, is Taylor Swift.
No, I knew about 10 or 12, but and then there's another about 10 that I did not know.
Mm-hmm.
But it was very New Jersey heavy, and it was very unimpressive. Like,
why'd they move it to Jersey? I was shocked. I figured you just went to the city. Like, the fact that it was in Newark to me is
I'm a New Jerseyan, so I have New Jersey pride now.
No, I know, but to me, it's like less cool than when it's in the Garden.
Yeah. The answer, according to the friend, who is that, you know, that somebody has connections with MTV and had been lobbying for a while to bring it there. And, you know, one thing led to another. They've done it in other places. It's not only, like, it used to only be New York and L.A., and now it goes around to different cities all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So it was in New Jersey. It was, honestly, the crowd of celebrities and artists there was pretty underwhelming. Like, there's the one section, you know.
Well, obviously,
you're
not getting celebrities going to Newark.
Yeah, there's a lot of tricky camera work involved with, you know, making it seem like all the celebrities were sitting in one little section, and that section was very, very small, like very small.
Did you see any celebrities in person with your eyes?
Well, I mean, I saw them all with my eyes, but like, you know, from like 100 feet away.
Yeah, I'm saying not close, though. You didn't have great seats.
Well, here's the other thing, honestly. No, we had excellent seats, actually. I was sitting, like, if you do watch it, there was a guy with dreadlocks who I don't know who he is. Who I thought was Wyclef Jean until he opened his mouth, and then he wasn't Wyclef Jean, so I don't know who he was. And
that Wyclef Jean is still like allowed to be in public.
Well, I don't understand why he was part of the New Jersey crew. I thought he was from Haiti, but I guess he's from New Jersey.
No, but no, that's not what I'm saying.
Yeah,
I think
he got
there.
Into some legal trouble. Yeah, I'm aware.
Like, it's crazy that, you know.
Listen, we're a pro Wyclef podcast, so the issue is that honestly. There was nobody performing last night who I would have gone to a concert of theirs if given the opportunity.
Maybe Taylor Swift.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I probably would have. She was pretty good. I would have gone to her. Lizzo was very good, but I don't know if I would, you know, want to be there for 2.5 hours of that.
By the way, Wyclef lived in Newark from when he was 9 years old.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, so he's more New Jersey than me.
Yes.
But it's better to go to the VMAs than to go to a concert of any one of the artists that performed last night, because instead of hearing
you hear the one or two hits.
Yeah, exactly.
My pet peeve with these things always is It's like, did Old Nas, Lil Nas X play Old Town Road, or did he play like his new single?
No. Well, so nobody plays a full song. Everybody plays like sort of, you know, these remix mashups of like the 1 minute, like the most radio popular part of each of their songs.
Okay. And who was the most impressive person at the VMAs?
My favorite song was what Mendez and what's the girl who he sings with?
Shawn Mendes.
Yeah. And who does he sing with again?
Camila Cabello, maybe?
Yeah, that song. So that song is my son Erez's favorite song.
Okay. Yeah, my daughter Dira really likes Shawn Mendes.
Yeah, so that song was on the radio the other day, and we, like, turned the station, and Erez, my six-year-old, was like, no, I love that song. What are you doing? And he, like, knows all the words to it, which is kind of weird that my six-year-old would have been more appropriate at this concert than I was.
Oh, I love it when you call me Senorita, that one?
Yeah, that song. No, it was a good so I liked that because I knew he would like it, and Jen, like, videotaped it so that we could show him later. But yeah, so the performances themselves weren't that great. To me, by far, the most incredible part was the crowd, other than me, obviously. You know, there weren't a lot of over 35-year-old straight white guys like the Alex Chesser demographic. The crowd was, like, absolutely fabulous. And, I mean, like, the costumes were amazing. Like, people, like, really, really worked hard to get dressed up for this event.
Uh-huh.
And were wearing things that you've never seen anywhere else. And I've, you know, Jen and I go to some interesting places in New York and see a lot of interesting people, but these people were really dressed up. So you asked me like how close I was to celebrities. The honest answer is that I have no idea just walking around who was a celebrity and who wasn't.
Right. That's fair.
Because they were all like basically dressed the same way.
Okay. So now I'm going to look, you mentioned the VMAs, which are on $9.99.
Yeah.
And I'm going to look at some of the performers and we're going to see like, has music gotten better or worse? Okay.
Yeah. Well, of course, we're going to think it's gotten worse because then we were 16 and now we're 36.
No. We'll try and keep an open mind. Yeah. Okay. By the way, all right. It might have gotten much better because 99 was not an ideal time for music. All right. The pre-show performers, All Star by Smash Mouth and Blink 182, Watch My Age Again, All the Small Things.
Although, we know all the words to all three of those songs.
No, those songs still are popular now. Like All Star is like a big Twitter hit now.
They're annoying songs, but they're in our
Then
heads.
Kid Rock. With Run DMC, Steven Tyler, Joe Perry, and Josie, and they played Ba with a Ba and Walk This Way.
Yeah, but like Steven Tyler, I mean, Kid Rock probably wouldn't be invited for other reasons, but like Steven Tyler would not go within like 100 feet of the VMAs in 2000.
Lauryn Hill, you could never have her on a live show now. She's famous for like, she comes 3 or 4 hours late to every single one of her
concerts. Yeah, she got a couple decent shout outs though, I think, last night.
Lauryn Hill, Everything is Everything. I don't think that was one of her bigger hits. Backstreet Boys played I Want It That Way and Larger Than Life. That was, I'm sure, a big deal in 1999. Yeah. Ricky Martin playing She's All I Ever Had and Live in La Vida Loca.
Okay, these are much bigger. Like, all these Nine
Inch Nails
are still huge.
Nine Inch
Nails,
later. The big difference is that there's no such thing as rock music anymore. Nine Inch Nails would never be invited. Like, you know, Tool had a new album out this month. Like, they would never get invited to this type of thing. The rockiest thing.
There was
If you look at the best rock category, here it is. Panic at the Disco, Full Out Boy, Imagine Dragons, Lenny Kravitz. This is 2019.
Lenny Kravitz, by the way, I actually said this to Jen when he came out. Has he been wearing the same thing for 20 years? And Jen's like, well, he still looks good.
Yeah, he definitely has.
And he does look good. But by the way, I think he only owns one outfit.
The rest of the 99, I mean, this is some serious performances. TLC with No Scrubs, that's really good. Yeah. Fatboy Slim, Praise You. Jay-Z with Hard Knock Life.
That's an amazing show. Now, do 16
Britney Spears with NSYNC playing Baby One More Time, Tearing Up My Heart.
So they
and
had
then Eminem, Dr. Dre, and Snoop with My Name Is.
Wow.
It's that's a serious show, 99.
Yeah, that's an amazing show. I should have went Frager. I messed up. Sorry.
Yeah.
I thought of there was one other over 35-year-old white, straight, cisgendered male there who was more out of place than me, and that was the host, Sebastian Maniscalco.
Crazy. Well, I don't know if he's white, but the he might. I don't know anything about him. I have no idea.
He's like super Italian American.
He is not. He has like 100. After last night, he has like 100 something thousand followers on Twitter. He is not nearly famous enough.
But okay. Well, I've actually heard him a couple times at the Cellar, and he was on an episode of Comedians in Cars with Jerry this year. But his humor is like sort of like Republican light, and it really did not go well in that crowd. Like, he was making jokes about safe spaces. He was making jokes about everybody winning trophies and, like, you know, like participation trophies. And like,
now he's Italian, by the way. So yeah, he is white.
His name is Sebastian Maniscalco. He could not be more Italian. Come on. He was like really out of place. I have no idea what the hell. And he was wearing like a very like a glittery jacket, of course. So he was, you know, in
no,
place
that was
in that
the one
way.
Thing I saw on Twitter. Everyone was like, this guy's not nearly famous enough to be here.
Yeah, I don't understand. And not just that, but you drive around Newark, and like it was his picture on all like the flags all over like town to advertise the VMAs. Not
I mean,
the truth
is Chappelle had his new – have you heard Chappelle's new stand-up? Have you seen it on Netflix?
Yeah, the one that just came out?
Yeah.
No, I mean, dropped. I saw the ones last year, you know.
No, the one that dropped yesterday or today.
Yeah, no, I did not. I was busy. But yeah, but it's similar.
So
he's trying as hard as possible to cancel. He doesn't give a fuck.
But my point is that they should have gotten Chappelle.
Yeah.
Or somebody like that. Like, at least get somebody interesting
but
to
he
tell
been
a
booed.
Few minutes of jokes.
This was a very...
I don't think he would have been booed.
Yeah, I mean, he wouldn't have been. You're right, but he.
But they would have respected
him
because they
know
who
he got the career. By the way, the Career Achievement Award, the Video Van. It's called the Michael Jackson Video Vanguard.
Yeah. Speaking of being canceled.
Yeah, and I said to Jen, I'm like, because I was reading on Wikipedia about the VMAs before we got in. I'm like,
you couldn't even let him in this room. It's a room full of children.
There's no way that's still what it's called. Yeah. And you know who got it last night? Missy Elliott.
Misdemeanor Elliott.
Yeah. Now I appreciate Missy Elliott, but like, she's not nearly like important enough to get a life.
Right. That's the most famous person who would answer our call and come, basically.
Well, Queen Latifah is better, and she was there. You know.
Yeah, but she might have gotten it already. I mean, she's probably. I think she hosts it sometimes. Also,
I don't know. So
yeah, I agree. She's not famous enough, but we also have two.
By the way, off the air, I'll tell you about what happened to me Saturday night, which was a much more interesting night.
Okay, fine. So Packers Falcons.
It was like a step. Well, whatever. It's I'm gonna have to edit this out because I don't even want to make reference to it. All right. So we're talking about two decent teams, Packers and Falcons today, right?
Yeah.
The Falcons and Packers actually. The Falcons are 12. The Packers are 11.
I guess we'll start by talking about the Packers.
Okay, so we're talking about number 11 first. So the Packers
The Falcons are 11. The Packers are 12.
You made these rankings, so if
you're right. You're right. We talk about the Falcons first.
The Falcons
I got mixed
are 12
because the Colts. We had to move the Colts down.
We're talking about
not
two teams
about the
that
Colts,
are probably going to finish in third place in their divisions, which is impressive since they're like you know.
I mean, I don't believe that. Are you saying? I mean, you're sure that Atlanta's worse than Carolina?
Remember
all the injuries on defense Atlanta had last year?
Am I supposed to spoil my predictions?
I mean, we could talk about it.
I have Atlanta finishing in third place in their division. Yes, I
do. Do you remember last year when Atlanta lost like their whole team defensively? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, aren't they going to be better this year?
Well, I think they're going to go 10-6.
So you think they're going to make the playoffs, but there's going to be three teams from the South?
Yeah, I think both wild cards coming out of the South.
Okay. I mean, I'm surprised you don't have. I mean, again, I said everyone in the North could be 8-8.
So. No, the NFC South and the NFC North are very similar in that each division has three teams that I think can win double digit games.
But there's no. There's the only real Super Bowl contender in my mind from either division is the Saints.
Yeah, you said this when we did our Panthers episode, and I disagreed with you then. And we'll talk about the Saints more when we talk about the Saints. But
For the Falcons: Ryan, Julio, Jarrett, Jake Matthews, Calvin Ridley, Keanu Neal, Chris Lindstrom, Deion Jones, Desmond Trufant, and Caleb McGarry. Alex Mack, also the Secret Life Alex Mack, just off the list. By the way, we have like the Dolphins are just cutting everyone in their core. Like since we started talking about the cores, like it became more apparent that some teams' cores are like, oh yeah, everyone here is irreplaceable. Not to mention that the Colts lost the most important person in their core since we last spoke.
Yeah.
By the way, the backup quarterbacks here to Matt Ryan, all named Matt, Matt Schaub and Matt Sims.
Incredible like that Matt Schaub is still there, by the
way. Three old, washed, you know, white guys. Two of them, like, one of them is washed up, and one of them was never even good in college, and somehow, like, in the NFL 15 years later, it makes no sense. Like, Matt Sims wasn't even really a college quarterback. I have no idea. If his name was Matt Jones, he wouldn't still be in the NFL.
Yeah.
Like,
Matt
Sims gets
didn't Matt Jones pass away?
The Jaguars' old Matt Jones?
Yeah. Oh, no. I'm confusing. He went to jail. They had a different receiver who fell off a truck and passed away. I think is what happened.
Jaguars. Well, Justin Blackman, I guess at this point, he's not coming back, right?
Why would
I remember
to
Justin? Like, I mean, he left. It's not so funny. He left with, like, he had, I think, substance abuse issues. But he was, you don't remember? He was like Josh Gordon, essentially. Like, amazing, but then.
Yeah. We're laughing and having fun.
Anyway. It's
funny
best
because I was going to start this podcast by telling you how I'm getting really pumped for football as we're talking about these good teams. But now I just want to tell you some other stories about things I've been doing in my private life the last few days, and I don't really want to talk about it.
Well, we got to give the Falcons and Packers fans a few minutes. So, best receiving core in football with Julio, Ridley, and Sanu.
Yeah. By the way, do not draft Ridley in fantasy. That's my advice for you.
I agree. Ridley's. I mean, he's not going as high as you'd think.
He had like six touchdowns in two games. That's about it. Yeah. He's.
I mean, his targets were really high last year. I can't imagine them going down. I mean, this is a team.
The touchdowns are going to revert.
You know, there are teams where if you lose the quarterback, like, you know, T.Y. Hilton, I don't think will be useless this year in fantasy. Obviously, you have to knock him down a few pegs, but I do think that team is going to be able to move the football.
Yeah.
This team, if Ryan goes down, you could cut everybody.
Yeah, that's insane. Julio Jones is a top five wide receiver, no matter who's throwing to him.
Well, no, except if it's not if Matt Schaub. Like if they were, if like if it was Teddy Bridgewater as a backup.
To be
fine.
Fair to Matt Schaub, we have no idea because we haven't seen him since like 2013.
Yeah, but he was washed up then.
Yeah, it ended poorly for him in Houston, and that was a long, long, long. I mean, that was so long ago. I think you were doing this podcast with Ari Gold.
I was. All right, so the rest of the offense, Devonta Freeman with Ito Smith backing him up. Yeah. I like the line with Matthews, Carpenter, who's not so good from the Jets, Mack Lidstrom.
No, this is a great offense. This is the same good offense that went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and they drafted a tackle who's not even starting as of now. So they have some depth there. They drafted a receiver and a running back. They have some future pieces on the offense. The defense, Grady Jarrett, Vic Beasley. Vic Beasley had, like, speaking of people who had one good season, if you ever do one-hit wonders, Beasley had one great season and basically shouldn't be in the NFL anymore. He's still coasting on that, and I'm sure he'll get three or four more years in the league off of it. But defensive one-hit wonders, if you were to do a spreadsheet for that, Vic Beasley would definitely be on it.
Mm-hmm. By the way, episodes ago you asked me, we talked about what the peak for a running back is.
Yes.
So I looked at every running back in NFL history who ever had 1,000 yards rushing in a season or who had 1,500 yards from scrimmage in a season. So, you know, if you have 800 passing, 800 running, I got you. That covers every single running back who ever had a decent season. You know who it just does not cover, which is why we know that we did it perfectly?
Who?
Trent Richardson, because he had 945 yards his rookie year and like 13 touchdowns, and but on 3 yards a carry. So of those 224 players, the median for the peak is season 3, age 25.
Wow.
So, yeah. So running backs peak
right,
at season
three.
We
were bargaining over 2 and 3. I think I said two, you said 3. So you were
I think it was the other round. You were right. By the way, Curtis Martin, his peak was like in season 10 or 11, which is kind of
Martin got better as he went older, as he got older. What other running backs got better later in their career? Ingram. Mark Ingram definitely got better later in his career.
Yeah. Well, we didn't even discuss him on the Ravens podcast very much, did we?
No. Oh, by the way, Beasley sack stats. Rookie year 4. You're 2, 15.5. You're 3, 5. You're 4, 5. So he's got more of that 1 year than he has the rest of his career. Let's go to the Packers for a second, okay?
Okay. Well, do you want to just tell you? You asked which other running backs peaked late. So
yes.
We have Curtis Martin, who peaked in season 10,
okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And then peaked in season 9, Tiki Barber.
Yes.
Barry Sanders.
Curtis at least got bad before he retired. Tiki never got bad. Tiki just retired because he was sick of it.
Yeah. Well, and that's why he was in my ranking that I put on the Facebook group, of the other Andrew Luck type retired guys. John Henry Johnson, Thomas Jones peaked on your Jets later.
Yes.
Charlie Garner peaked on that crazy Raiders team that went to the Super Bowl. Corey Dillon in season 8 once he joined the Patriots.
Corey Dillon.
Robert Smith peaked in season 8, and then he dropped and retired immediately.
I always remember Robert Smith's another guy who retired like very abruptly.
But he lied.
I remember
he said
in
he
my
retired
head,
to go to medical school.
What's weird is I retired in my mind. I remembered in my mind that Smith retired to join the clergy. You don't remember anything
so
about
similar.
That?
No, he was retiring to go to medical school is what he said. He was a really smart guy.
That he was going
he graduated
to like some sort of
from
clergy.
Ohio State in like a double major.
Yeah,
in 3 years.
He was like a chem major or something.
Yeah, and he would always like read, and he wanted to go. He retired. He had a 1,600 yard season. He was healthy for the first time in his career. He was entering free agency, much like Tiki. Could have signed a big contract, and he said basically that the injury concern, and also he wanted to go to medical school, so he retired. And then a few years later, he shows up on ESPN as a college football analyst. So
yeah.
Other guys who peaked
and
in season
not
8.
Dr. Robert Smith.
Yeah. Reggie Bush. Yeah. He's into astronomy. I forgot. I was reading on Wikipedia. Reggie Bush peaked in season 8, his first year in Detroit, which was like the first time that he became like a full-time running back because he was sharing time in New Orleans and Miami. Craig Ironhead Haywood, Tony Canadeo, who played in like the 1940s. They all peaked in season 8. And then, we can keep Justin Forsett in season 7 had that weird
random
Forsett season.
Had the one good year for the Ravens.
Yeah, 2014. I had him in fantasy that year. It was pretty good. But Mark Ingram is an active player who peaked in season 7.
Mm-hmm.
And then Adrian Peterson and Jamal Charles both had their,
What if Frank Gore or LeSean McCoy peak this season?
If Frank Gore or LeSean McCoy peaks this season, I will, I don't know. What should I do if that happens?
I'm not sure. No, you don't know anything.
Frank Gore peaked in season 2, by the way. So, but he's still going. So kudos to him.
All right, let's talk about the Packers.
All right, sorry, Falcons. I do have Falcons opinions, but I'll save them for my
preseason predictions. Give me two quick Falcons opinions.
No, I want to save them for my preseason predictions because
okay, fine.
I just recently finished predicting all 256 games of the NFL season.
Oh, okay.
And so, I have some hot takes and surprises.
Speaking of backup quarterbacks, if Matt Ryan gets injured, we were talking about Matt Schaub. What if Aaron Rodgers gets injured, what about DeShone Kizer? Would that
what about
be bad?
Him?
I don't know. It feels like it would be bad.
It would not be good. We saw him last year, yeah.
I'm not sold on any of that. I'm just trying to think of like interesting topics that on the Packers receivers. I thought Valdes-Scantling and Equanimeous St. Brown, who were both rookies last year, both looked
amazing
terrible.
Amazing names. Yeah.
Great names, incredibly long names. I thought they both looked
awful.
But
Davante Adams was much better than I thought he was going to be.
Yeah, Adams is a star, but as far as the number two, like they have those guys and they have Geronimo Allison. They don't really have anything
else. Can I give you a Packers hot take?
Yeah.
The Green Bay Packers will not spend a single moment this season in first place in their division. Not even in a tie for first place.
Well, you want to look at their schedule, go game by game?
They're going to lose in week one.
Yeah.
And they will never be in first place in their division or even tied for first place.
I mean, listen, if Rodgers isn't Rodgers, the rest of this team is the 2-53 is not special at all.
I'm not saying that Rodgers isn't going to be Rodgers. I think that the real tough battle in the NFC is going to be like, you know, the Packers, Vikings, Bears. One of those teams is winning the division, right?
Yeah.
The Panthers, Saints, Falcons. One of those teams is winning the division. So right there, you have four teams fighting for two wildcard spots, and that's before you mention the Cowboys and the Eagles, before you mention the Seahawks, the San Francisco, I guess, if they're a competitor. So there's a lot of teams in the NFC. There's not like elite teams in the NFC, but there's a lot of teams in the NFC fighting for those
spots. Well, I think it's
interesting.
We're not talking about any AFC teams today, but I think with the Colts dropping out of the picture, the AFC playoff picture is very clear.
Yeah, I mean, I think we'll discuss when we do our season preview, but I see a lot of 9-7 teams making the playoffs in the AFC, whereas in the NFC, 10-6 might not make it.
Okay. I will say one of the most underrated units in the NFL to me is the Packers defense. So they added Za'Darius Smith. They have Preston Smith from the Redskins. They drafted Darnell Savage, a rookie safety. Jaire Alexander is probably going to be a star corner this year. Kenny Clark is an excellent player. They're really loaded. They drafted Rashawn Gary.
Your Packers core after Rodgers. Yeah. How many of the next nine guys are on defense?
After Rodgers, Bakhtiar, who's the left tackle, then Clark defense, Adams the receiver, Alexander defense, Jones at running back, although you wouldn't put running backs there. Za'Darius and Preston
crazy.
Smith defense. Balaga's a tackle, Savage. But I gave a little leeway to to the tackles, and I didn't include one of their first round picks where most teams got their first round picks on.
Let's go back to the offense for a second. Mm-hmm. LaFleur is there because McCarthy was running a decrepit, ancient offense, although again this is the same team that won a Super Bowl and went 15-1 under Mike McCarthy, so I think that I made fun of him as much as anybody, and we got into a big argument with our Packers fan like 4 or 5 years ago when he was still defending McCarthy. But I think everybody's dunking on McCarthy a little bit too much. Like, he did succeed not that long ago. The NFL wasn't that dramatically different in, like, you know, it was.
I think it was more a relationship thing that him and Rodgers didn't trust each other or like each other anymore.
But the criticism wasn't of the relationship. The criticism was that they were running this antiquated offense, and like Aaron Rodgers' abilities weren't being taken advantage of. So I mean, what have you seen, or have you seen anything from LaFleur? Whether it's obviously Rodgers hasn't played in the preseason. But
I don't want to pretend like we've seen much about LaFleur. They haven't played a game.
Yeah. Well, and again, Rodgers hasn't
played
at all.
He seems like a smart guy, but I think we should wait at least till he has one game under his belt to pass.
Yeah, we usually do our annual coach rankings around week 4 or 5 because we want a chance to see a little bit of these rookie coaches.
Mm-hmm. Can we do the Packers schedule game? I'll give you the games.
Yeah, sure.
All right, at Chicago.
Well, I already spoiled this one, but yeah, I have that as a loss.
So then they host Minnesota.
That'll be a win. Although last year they started at Chicago, they won, and then they tied Minnesota in week 2.
Right.
But
then we cut our kicker.
That should be a win. 2-1.
So they have 3 home games in 12 days because then they host the Eagles.
Yeah. Would you rather face your divisional opponents at home early and on the road late, or on the road early and home late?
Well, it's a tricky question for teams that play in the snow because you don't want to go to Buffalo late. You want to go to Miami late, you know? So it's really weather dependent, in my opinion.
Okay. Well, because the Vikings are playing all 3 of their divisional opponents on the road and then later in the season all 3 at home.
So for you guys, I mean, you have a dome, right? And Detroit has a dome. But Green Bay obviously doesn't, and Chicago doesn't. So you don't want to go there. Although maybe you do. If you're a bad team.
Yeah, I don't think the weather's a disadvantage. The Vikings are not. I don't know.
Right.
I think the weather. I'm not sure who advantages or disadvantages, to be honest.
Yeah, but we'd have to see some numbers on that.
Detroit's the worst. Yeah, but all right. So the Packers obviously they beat the Denver, so they're 2-1.
And then Philly on Thursday night, 5 days later.
All right. Yeah, I'll give them a win. 3-1.
It's really a wild schedule. They go to Dallas now at 3-1.
Yeah, and
they're not in first place though at 3-1.
No, because the Bears,
The Bears are 4-0.
I mean, how much am I spoiling here?
Yeah, the Bears can spoil whatever you want. People will forget by next week.
Yeah. I have the Bears starting like 6-0, 7-0, something like that. And I, by the way, I think the Bears are going to regress. I just think that their schedule...
I also did the Bears. We also recorded the Bears podcast already.
The Bears schedule breaks much more favorably than a lot of teams. So they're going to start out.
So you have them losing in Dallas?
Yeah, I have the Packers losing in Dallas.
Then hosting Detroit and Oakland.
Yeah, those have got to be wins.
So you said that they're never going to spend a day in first place, but that's really because you have a team at 6-0, because they're 5-1 at this point.
5-2.
5-2 at this point. So their fifth home game is October 22nd, when a lot of teams will have played two home games or three.
Yeah, so yeah, they don't get to take advantage of Lambeau.
That's really wild.
Yeah.
At KC and at the Chargers, the two maybe the two best teams in the AFC, certainly the two best teams in the AFC West on the road.
Now, the Chargers obviously do not have a home field advantage, but I'll say that those are losses.
Okay, so that's 5-4. Then they host Carolina.
That's a win.
And then the schedule gets pretty soft after the bye. So they're 6-4 at San Francisco.
I think that's a loss.
At New York, the Giants.
That better be a win.
7-5 hosting the Redskins.
That's another one.
8-5 hosting the Bears.
They get revenge, so 9-5.
And then at Minnesota and Detroit.
And I'm going to say they're going to lose those two.
That's the last Monday Night Football game. Packers-Vikings.
So they're going to finish 9-7.
And miss the playoffs. All right, but probably. It sounded like you were really down on them. If you're down on them, that's more like 7-9, 8-8.
Is there a huge difference between 8-8, 9-7? I mean, apparently there was when you mocked me vociferously.
Oh, no, people agree. That's insane. That's still
crazy. Lawson Campbell agreed with you. I saw that on Facebook.
That's crazy. I mean, 7.5 was the worst thing you've ever said.
Yeah.
do you have any more? Do you have any non-Packers or Falcons anecdotes you want to drop on the podcast?
No, I really shouldn't, but... Well, okay. I can say this. Jen and I went to we went to this club Saturday night, which was like straight out of like Stefan's like skits on SNL.
Well, when do you go to clubs? Who are you? What are you having like a quarter life crisis? I mean, you guys go to,
quarter
go
life
to a club?
I'm going to live to 140. No, but I mean, honestly, like this place, I'm trying to think of what I can say on the podcast without getting in trouble. Like this place literally could have been in a Stefan skit. There was a man dressed up as Marie Antoinette who took a cupcake, you know, like let him eat cake, and shoved it in my face.
Can I ask you a question? What said like, hey, let's go to a Marie Antoinette cake club?
Well, we didn't know that's what it was.
Why walked in there?
No, we when Dr. Jen decides to put herself together, we go to fun places.
You go to clubs a lot?
It doesn't matter how often.
That's weird. I've never been in a single club in my life.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if I can toot Jen's horn for a second, like, I think that Jen is very good at, like, getting into places.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but like, why would you want to go there?
Like, let me put it this way. There is a reason why we went to SNL twice, and both times we were picked to, like, sit on the floor. And it wasn't me.
SNL, I get. I just don't know why you went to the club. Yeah, great, into the club.
Yeah. But it wasn't just that. Then like she got us into like the front row. Like there was the section in front was for tables only. So I said to the hostess, I said, "Well, how much is a table tonight?" And they said, "Well, it starts at $1,200." Mm-hmm. And I'm like, "Oh, well, that's not happening." But then Jen just like went and like talked to someone and smiled and gave them like the little two air kiss thing, and all of a sudden she was there. And then I was sort of standing in the back, and she was there. And then she just went and sort of grabbed me and brought me to the front. So there was also my favorite part was there was a little person dressed as Freddie Mercury.
Yeah.
And he was playing like one of those Charlie Brown pianos.
Mm-hmm.
So why am I saying any of this on the podcast? There's no benefit to doing this. Anyway,
all right. No, this sounds fun.
The only reason I bring all this up is because like last night on the way home, Jen and I were like, you know, the VMAs were good, but like Saturday night was actually way better. So.
Uh huh. Well, you guys go out a lot. You just have babysitters left and right, ready on your beck and call.
Well, I got to take advantage because my parents are only in town for like part of the year.
Oh, they're there right now.
Yeah, we're going to Nevada this weekend for a wedding.
Oh, whatever happened with the $40 million house bachelor party?
Oh yeah, that's this wedding. Yeah, exactly.
Didn't she go to the $40 million bachelorette party house?
No, because it was on Tisha B'Av and Shabbos, so she wanted to. But yeah, it wasn't going to work, unfortunately. But so we're going to Reno on Friday, and then we're going to a wedding in Lake Tahoe. And,
Reno like have a bad reputation as like a lame city?
Well, the weddings in Reno and Lake Tahoe are like you fly to the airport in Reno.
Okay.
And Lake Tahoe's like nearby. I don't know. I've never been in any of these places. But
bringing the kids?
No, of course not. So this is actually like the drama because we've been trying to find a babysitter, and I think we just found
a babysitter for the whole weekend.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a big ask.
And my parents are leaving Sunday night. Well, we had a babysitter that unfortunately babysitter got sick, and so we got to find someone new. Mm-hmm. My parents are leaving the country on Sunday, so they'll be there over the weekend, but then they're leaving Sunday night. But this wedding will be, at least based on net worth of the parents, by mm-hmm. far like the most expensive wedding I've ever been to. So I have no idea what the wedding's going to be.
Is
like,
it kosher, though? Can you eat the food?
No, of course not.
Oh, well, then it's a huge waste of time. I'd rather like a D-minus wedding where I could eat the food versus can't eat the food there.
Well, so, you know.
You drink.
Ordinarily, if you're somewhat close with the couple and you're invited to a wedding, you tell them you keep kosher, and they're like, oh, of course, you know, they get you a kosher meal.
Yeah.
So I don't know how – this was like one of Jen's best friends growing up, but they've sort of like – you
lost
know, they
touch
don't
a little bit, yeah.
We went to New Orleans and met up with them a couple of years ago, but that's the only time that I think Jen has seen this girl in the last like decade. So – So I don't really know. So on the RSVP, and I hope she's not listening to the podcast, RSVP form, you could check off a box for like chicken or beef or fish or whatever.
Did you make make your own box for kosher?
So we were strategizing how to say that without being like presumptuous or obnoxious, but you know, and by the way, if her dad is buying $40 million houses, he can afford to find some kosher food, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I looked up the Chabad, because of course there's a Chabad there, and I sort of inquired about like the food situation.
Mm-hmm.
So at least we have food over the weekend. Yeah, so I don't know what this wedding is going to be like. But
you're probably not going to have food. If they didn't coordinate it with you, you're not going to have food.
No, well, that's why we're coordinating our own food for the weekend.
Yeah, but at the wedding, you're going to be... Yeah, I mean, a listener who was vegan was telling us about this a couple months ago, that they went to a wedding and there was no vegan option for them, which is much more common now than just the random like Orthodox Jew keeping kosher, which is still pretty rare, especially in outside of like New York City.
Yeah.
And that's rough. I mean, you're more likely as a vegan to find something you can eat than a kosher person, where it's impossible. You're just going to stumble upon something. But still, that's rough. You should, if our listeners get married, you should, have other people's dietary habits in mind. You don't want people to be there and not be.
Your wedding's not about you. Your wedding's about me.
Well, it's.
No. You're right. You should be sensitive, obviously, to your guests. But before we get bombed, I do want to say.